Good morning. You know, I always give you a little quick update on the outreach with Will and Matt. It actually has a name. Our banner is United Church to Heal a Divided Nation. And that's really our vision. And I was watching an interview this week with Nikki Haley. Some of you remember her, know who she is. And she used to be our UN ambassador, used to be the governor of South Carolina. Is that right? And but anyways, they were just asking her about her aspirations for the future and such. And, of course, she was being very coy about that and not, you know, saying much. But they said, or she said, if your dream doesn't scare you, it's not big enough. And I thought that was a great thing to think about in our lives. If our dream doesn't scare us, it's not big enough. And so I say all that to say, I'm scared. this outreach that we're doing, it's growing, and I think it's going to be very, very significant, and I think God's in it. And our promotional material will be out this week. Our video and all of the website and everything should be up, and our print material should be up this week. And so you'll be getting more of the details in that regard. So, as of course we already said, this morning is a special day. I love when we have water baptism services. It's just, as Tim said, it's a highlight for me. And so I want to tie in though the messages that I've been preaching. I've been doing a series that I call Loving Christ Church, and I think that they really do fit together. These two ideas really do fit together. The idea of, you know, our commitment, our love, to the body of Christ, and this that we're going to participate in here in a few minutes. And I would also say this to, maybe to Jason, as it gets toward the end, I'll try to remember to give you a cue. Kelly's going to bring the kids in, so she just needs to know, because one of the children from Sunday school is going to be baptized along with, three adults, I believe. So, anyways, so these sermons, like I say, they fit very nicely into the idea of water baptism. And I feel like we are guilty sometimes in our tradition, in our stream of Christianity, if you will, that we put all the emphasis on the personal side of water baptism. It's part of our, it's part of our conversion. It's a symbol of our conversion. It's, you know, of our dedication, the surrender of our lives to Christ. It's part of our personal journey, our faith, and such like that. And I think that sometimes we put we put all the emphasis on that, and we forget that a part of water baptism is that we are identifying with the body of Christ. We are identifying with the church and our commitment to the church. You know, historically, I've been going a little historical on you lately, it seems like, because I think sometimes, again, this is very common. If it happened more than 50 years ago, it like seems irrelevant to us sometimes. And so I'm trying to show you things from the history of the church and such, and just, I think, maybe kind of bring us back to some central truths that might have been missed a little bit or not emphasized the way that they should have been. And so historically, water baptism has been not just a step in a person's personal journey with Christ, but it was also, as I said, it represented their relationship not just to the Lord, but also to the church. And that can get out of balance, right? I mean, we can go too far in the wrong direction with that, you know, where some people say, hey, I was baptized 30 years ago, so it's all good, right? It doesn't matter how I live my life. And that's an extreme that we certainly don't want to go down, and I would never encourage, and that's not who we are. But at the same time, we do have to understand the significance of the church in the life of a believer, in the life of a follower of Jesus Christ. In the scripture, I think I used the scripture last week or the week before, And we'll come back around to this at the end, but I just want to mention it here in the beginning. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. But that first line there, that first phrase, the first part of the sentence, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. And I just, again, that just speaks to what I was just saying. We were all baptized into one body. And so I just want to make sure that we put enough emphasis on that. So I'll come back to water baptism. You know, I kind of try to weave this, drive this car or whatever and get back to that. But I want to talk a little bit more about this whole idea of loving the church and the importance of our heart toward the Church of Jesus Christ. And I've said it again and again. You know, you can't just say, I love Jesus, but I have no desire, no interest, no connection to the church. The church is Christ's body. And again, I've said it again and again. He is the head, and the church is his body. But the issue with the body of Christ is it has divisions. It has some schisms in it, if you will. And that's been an ongoing issue, and I talked about that. I went through a whole bunch of things last week. You know, different things that divide us, different things where, you know, this stream of Christianity has this interpretation of a doctrine, of a teaching in the scripture, and another one has a different one, and back and forth it goes, you know, and all that. So the problem, though, with division in the body of Christ, if in your natural body you had, and this happens, right? There are conditions where the members of a person's body, they don't take the commands from the head, right? They don't, the body doesn't work in concert with one another, and their muscle coordination, and there's a number of different conditions like that, you know, have different names and stuff, but there's one thing that they have in common. They are diseases. Right? I mean, that's a word that we would probably commonly use. If a person has MS or if they have some other, you know, thing, and, you know, say, well, that's a disease. And I'm not saying that to talk to me. It's just the common vernacular we use. We know that there's something wrong. And people can live full lives and all that. Don't, you know, well, understand that. Don't get upset with me when I'm saying this. I'm just trying to say that when a body isn't working right, you know, we know that that's a struggle. And yet the body of Christ can be diseased with division. It can be diseased with schisms. So we just have to be very careful about that. And God's heart, and I've shared this before, of course, that they all may be one. This is Jesus praying in John 17. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they all may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. That's God's heart. And that needs to be our heart too. It doesn't mean that we can't worship in different houses of worship, and, you know, we all have different things and interpretation and understanding of things, but we've got to learn with what I talked about last week, you know, when we've got the core beliefs there, we've got to learn how, you know, even if there's other things that we might disagree on, we've got to learn how to come together, and we've got to learn how to truly be the body. And I went through a whole list of things last week of things where the church disagrees on. And frankly, like I said, it's hard to find an area that there's not disagreement on, you know? And it's almost like this has become such a mainstay in our culture. You all know what I'm talking about. Polls and surveys, right? We poll people all the time to get their opinions about stuff, right? 63% of people think ABC. 35% of people think XYZ, you know. Some think ABC, some think XYZ, and then there's always a couple of percent or a few percent that they just don't know, right? They're just undecided, right? And I have never, ever, ever, ever heard, you know, turn on the news and they're talking about something or watching something and they say, a survey, an opinion survey, a poll was taken and 100% of people think a certain way, right? It just doesn't happen. That's just not the nature of human beings. And that's just a reality. It never happens. You know, as a matter of fact, this is just a little aside. The majority isn't always right, you know, right? 83% of the spies that went into the promised land said it's a no-go, right? And if we just took that as a poll, 10 out of 12, that's where I got the number from. And I was, what do the division or whatever that is, you know, what is it, 10 divided by 12 or something like that. You know, 83% of the people that came back from the promised land, the land that God said, I've given you this, they said, no, it's a no-go. Can't do it. So don't always go with the majority. If we treated our natural family the way we treat our brothers and sisters in Christ, we wouldn't have a natural family. And you know what I'm saying? It's so easy in the context of the body of Christ to, you know, something happens and we disagree or there's an offense or something to just say, I'm going off in a different direction or I'm not going to go to church anymore or whatever. And every one of us here, every one of us drawing breath, we have had issues in our personal families, right? Right? I mean, duh, of course. It's just, is so much, it's as natural, sadly, you know, as breathing. And we've all had, you know, issue, you know, often it doesn't come to a division in our natural family. Sometimes, sadly, it does, and that's a tragedy, and we hope and pray for reconciliation. But my experience is that we have a tendency with offenses and disagreements that come within our church family to kind of sever those ties a lot easier than we do with our biological family. And I get it, I understand, but we just, it's something just to think about. You know, if every time somebody in our natural family, we had an issue with them or a disagreement or a struggle, if we just said, that's it, I write them off, you know. I mean, I know that happens at times, but that's a tragedy, right? We wouldn't want that. We wouldn't think that's good or normal. And the reason why it happens more in the church, in our church family, and not just in a local congregation, but, you know, the larger body of Christ, is because we don't have a really good understanding of the body of Christ sometimes. So I was thinking about this. I think there's two primary culprits when it comes to things that divide us. Number one is the actions of others. We'll just call it that. You know, there's a disagreement. There's a harsh word that's spoken. You know, someone, you know, does something to us that offends us, or we're treated poorly, or we're hurt by somebody, or there's disagreements. You know, those things can divide us. And the second is doctrinal things, beliefs, you know, things that, like I've talked again and again over the last couple of weeks, different things that happen, you know, or not happen, but, you know, just different interpretations or understandings we have of the Christian faith and how we, you know, sort out the Bible and such like that. God has an answer for both problems. When the actions of others threaten to cause division, God has provided a remedy. Does anybody know what that remedy is? He's provided a way for us to be restored. Because it happens. We've got to learn. It does happen. We are human beings. We fall short. We make mistakes. We do things that can offend. I do things that can offend people at times. I know that. What is God's remedy? Say again. Forgiveness, go to, right. So we're all on the same page. There is a passage of scripture that deals with it very specifically. Anybody know where that passage of scripture is? Matthew 18. So we're going to look at that for a minute. You know, being in the church is not a guarantee that these things can't happen. As a matter of fact, it's probably even more I hate to say that. Maybe that's not the right thing to say, so forgive me. But what I'm saying is we're close. Remember I said the thing with the church, the reason why it's risky is because the church involves love. And we're trying to walk together closely. And we don't do that, you know, as perfectly by any means as we should. But that's why sometimes it's even harder in the church. Because it's not just some casual whatever, you know, somebody you work with. And it doesn't really matter if they don't say hi to you or they offend you or they say something to hurt. You know, it's just not as big of a deal. But it's like, man, this is my family. This is my church family. And that's why sometimes it's harder. So God, you know, in his infinite wisdom came up with a strategy, you know, a plan to deal with it. And it's Matthew 18, or it's found in Matthew 18, and verses 15 through 17. It says, moreover, if a brother, or sister, of course, sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be treated, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector, which is basically, you know, okay, I'll get to that. I don't want to say that too soon. But I think you get the idea of what that means. When there are hurts and offenses and things that come up that divide us or have the potential to divide us, God has a way for us to deal with them. And if you've been walking with the Lord for any length of time and you've gone through things or you know people who've gone through things, you may hear this. Well, have you followed Matthew 18? Right? So if you hear that, that's what this is most likely talking about. But before we even get to that, you know, you've got to really stop and think, you know, is what happened to me, if you were hurt, if you were offended, and you know, maybe it was a misunderstanding, who knows, right? All kinds of things happen in life. You have to stop and say, is this really a big deal? Right? Can I just say, you know what, I think that person was having a bad day, and the fact that they walked by me in the aisle at Walmart and didn't say hi to me and ignored me, or they treated me, you know, or whatever, you know, okay, I'll just give them a break, right? Not everything has to become, you know, a huge thing. You just say, okay, it happens. You know, if it happens a dozen times or something, you know, maybe then you got an issue. There might be something going on here. But yeah, is this a big deal? Is this something that I need to address? And this is how I determine whether it is or whether it isn't. Does it affect my relationship with that person? You know, will it have an ongoing effect negatively on my relationship with that person? If I can just say, you know what, it's no big deal, and I'm not going to make an issue of it, you just move on. And you don't make an issue out of them. But some man, this is bugging me, and I just feel like, you know, maybe there's something going on between my brother and my sister in Christ, and I really want to, you know, get this right. Step one, you go to, somebody said this, you go to the person. And I've, you know, hammered on this probably many times over the years. That one little step will do more to heal broken relationships or clear up misunderstandings or open lines of communication than anything else. Just go to them. Now, why doesn't that happen? Because it's not easy. It's not easy to go to somebody, especially if, you know, there's a little bit of a something going on there and, you know, you feel a little offended and such. It's not easy. It's a whole lot easier to go to somebody else. Right? Can you believe what she said to me, what he said to me? Sister Sally came and, you know, whatever did, or I don't think there's a Sally in the church, so maybe that's safe. But it's hard. It's easier to go talk to somebody else, but it's not biblical, okay? Because God said, Jesus said in his word, if you have aught with someone, if there's an issue, go to that person. The problem with going to somebody else first, and we've all done it, right? You know, it's just sometimes, and maybe without thinking, or it's not malicious. We're just, you know, we're trying to clear our heads so we talk to somebody. But we have to be so careful. Follow the biblical pattern. Because if you go to another person, someone hurts you, or something happens, or some misunderstanding, and you go talk to another person, now that other person has heard your offense, and they can direct it at that other, that at the person that that your friend came and was telling you about. You know what I'm saying? I'm having a hard time explaining, but hopefully, you know, you're offended, you go tell your friend, now they pick up your offense, and they have an issue with that person, even though that person's never done anything to them, right? And it's just not a healthy thing. And more often than not, when we go to somebody like that, what we're doing is we are trying to build a case for ourselves. You know, we get them to agree with us, and you know, and then we get all kind of worked up and everything. And in all that time, Satan is loving every minute of it, right? Because he loves division. He sows discord in the body. That is what he does. That is one of his specialties. So God says, go to that person, tell him or her their fault alone. And he said, and I guarantee you 95% of the time or more, Jesus said, if you do that, you'll gain a brother or a sister, right? You can resolve it. Life goes on. It's wonderful. You've cleared the air. It's all good. And we can go on. But sometimes it doesn't. I mean, that's the vast, vast, vast majority, okay? If you can't, it says, go get one or two others. You know, grab another friend. It's not somebody who, you know, I know they're going to take my side sort of thing, right? I mean, the idea is you try to have somebody who you know is spiritually mature, so you got to choose the right person who's not going to be partial, you know, who's just going to try to hear it out. And, you know, because when you're trying to work out something with somebody that you're having a struggle with, their, you know, emotions get in there, and, you know, we don't always understand what the person means. And this arbiter, you know, this person can just help us, you know, to walk through this, you know, so that you know is something that's step two, if you will. And then step three, very, very, very rarely does this happen. It says tell it to the church. And that doesn't mean you stand up on Sunday morning, right, during testimony time and say, hey, you know, somebody did this. You know, it means you go to someone in leadership, someone, a mature Christian, someone who's involved, and say, you know, I've been trying to work this thing out with somebody, and we are just coming up against an impasse again and again. And again, we're talking serious things. We're not talking about little offenses where somebody didn't talk to you in the lobby or somebody was short with you or whatever. I mean, we're talking about things. Jesus uses the word sin, you know, when somebody sins against you, and it can't be resolved, you bring it and let church leadership in some way, you know, deal with that. And so that's kind of the progression. And so 95 plus percent of the time, just go talk to somebody. If something happened, just go talk to them. I know it's not easy, and I know it can be uncomfortable, but it's good to do. The second thing, so that's under the actions of others, you know, words, disagreements, misunderstandings, you know, hurts, and all that. Doctrinal, theological differences. You know, in the first case that I just got done talking about, you can have people who are 100% lockstep. They agree, you know, perfectly in terms of scripture and teaching and all that, but they have an offense with one another. You know, something happened. Now we're talking about things that divide us that are more related to how we sort out this, the Word of God. So I said last week, you know, again, it's hard to find an area in the church where there's not some level of disagreement. That's just part of being a human being. I mentioned polls and stuff a few moments ago. And there's no deficiency in the Word of God. There's no deficiency in the Bible, but we have deficiencies as human beings. So I had the opportunity to meet someone. I'll just tell this quick story. I'm almost done. I'll tell you when. Not quite. He's listening. That's a good sign. I was down in Texas. Actually, it's almost 2 months ago when I went down for the Christians United for Israel thing. And it was just one of these. it was just a cool thing that happened to me. I had the opportunity. I was by myself, so I didn't, you know, I knew people down there and stuff. But, you know, when it came time at night to have our dinners, you know, the big banquet kind of thing, there's hundreds of people there. And, you know, so everybody's coming into the dining area. And I just find a table with nobody there, maybe one person or two. And I said, hey, can I sit here? There's, you know, probably eight chairs at a table, and figure I'm going to meet somebody new. You know, I have a chance to talk to somebody or make a new friend, hopefully. And so I'm sitting there with one or two other people, and this couple comes in, and I actually immediately recognized him, and came over and he said, "Are these seats taken? Can I sit there?" And he's a pretty significant leader in the body of Christ. I mean, not maybe a household name, but he's a man named Jim Garlow, and he pastored a large church in San Diego for many years. Actually, the church that John Maxwell had pastored prior to Jim Garlow. He's not pastoring a church right now, but he has a ministry to our national leaders, governmental leaders. He does things in the Capitol and the State Department, stuff like that. He even meets with world leaders. And I actually gave Tim Archer, he's holding it up, a copy of his book. It's called Well Versed. And it talks about every difficult, I mean, I don't say every, but a lot, probably 30 different difficult issues that face our culture and our society today and how to address them from a biblical standpoint. That is this guy's gift. I want to be mentored by this guy. We had two nights, and it just so happened, it wasn't planned or whatever, where we sat together and talked and talked and talked, and I was just like eating it up. You know, he's probably in his 70s, and just a seasoned man of God. And we, you know, as we talked about some of these different difficult things and such, you know, I just loved his perspective. And that's why he said, you know, as we were talking about a few different things, he says, you should read my book. So when I got back, I ordered it and I loved it. And I gave a copy to Tim so that he could use it as a supplement for the class. As a matter of fact, just a little side thing about Jim Garlow. His wife, she's his second wife. His first wife died of cancer about 12 years ago, I think. So he remarried a few years ago. And the lady, his wife now, her name is Rosemary Schindler Garlow. She is a direct descendant of Oscar Schindler. She controls the Schindler family archive. Some of you know the movie, of course, Schindler's List, and what Oscar Schindler did through the Holocaust to save Jews. And she has tremendous ministry. She's been to Israel, I think she said 72 times or something like that. But great guy. So anyways, I just loved it. I want to connect with this guy more. He's doing something in Washington this summer. I'd like to go down and be a part of. But as we're talking, we started to talk about, you know, just again, what I'm talking about now, differences in different camps of Christianity. You know, this one disagrees with this one about that, and right, just human nature, like I said. And we were talking about different situations and such like that, and I loved his perspective on this, because he's like, I won't say he's like me. I'm like him in terms of my heart for the church. He really has a heart for the church and a love for God's people. And I just love this guy. And he said, you know, when I am in a conversation with somebody and they say, I can't fellowship with that person because they think X, Y, Z, you know. He said, okay, you know the story of Abraham? Some of you know the story of Abraham when God sent the three angels to tell him about that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And what did Abraham do? He kind of tried to negotiate with God a little bit. And I know that sounds crazy, but you know what I'm saying. And some of you know the story. And Abraham said, because Abraham's nephew Lot and his family lived in that city. So Abraham was concerned for them. So Abraham says, Lord, will you spare the city for 50 people? And the Lord said, I will spare the city for 50 people. Lord, don't be angry with me, but would you spare the city for 45? I would spare it for, and then it goes to 40, and then I think to 35, 30, 20. And then he gets down, I said, Lord, just one more time, please, don't be angry. Would you spare the city for 10 righteous people? And the Lord said, I will. I would spare the city for 10 righteous people. There weren't 10 righteous people in the city. So, thus the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. But, so that idea of kind of like, here's what I'm trying to say about what Jim taught me about how to treat, you know, folks where you have differences in how you interpret the scripture and stuff like that. He said, I'll use Tim Archer because he's easy to pick on. He's sitting right here in the second row. And, we're going to give Tim Archer the benefit of the doubt. And we're going to say that he 100%, his beliefs, his doctrine, his understanding of Scripture is 100% in line with Jesus himself. I mean, he is the closest there is. I mean, everything that Tim believes is right on the money, right? None of us could say that, but I'm just picking on him. So let's say there's somebody who agrees with 95% of what Tim believes, but disagrees with 5%. Is that person still saved? Huh. What if they believe 90%? You see what I'm saying? Kind of doing the Abraham thing with God backwards. What about 90%? You know, and then disagree with 10%? What if they disagree with 20%? Are they still saved? You know, do you see what I'm saying? There's not a point where you can say, that's the line we draw. Right? You keep going and going and going. And obviously there is a line, but only God really knows that line. Remember I said a couple weeks ago, if somebody says, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody can come to the Father except through him, we're on good terms. I think we can build on that. We can build on that kind of relationship. So, you know, I just think sometimes that we get too... I'm trying to think of the word, you know. We're just so rigid. And when somebody has a different understanding of something from the Scriptures, you know, and I'm not saying it's not time, there's not time to talk about it and work it out, you know, and try to resolve it. My dear brother here locally, who we've become good friends, but he's what he calls and what we would call a cessationist. He doesn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit for today. But we love each other. We have a relationship with one another. And he said, sometime I'd love to talk to you about it. And, you know, why he's a cessationist and I'm not and whatever. But, you know, and maybe someday we'll have that conversation. But we just got to be so careful that we're not dividing the body and having division and schism in the body when it doesn't need to be. Yes, there are lines. I talked last week about core beliefs. There's things that we cannot compromise on. My friend that led me to Christ, not he didn't particularly specifically pray with me at that time, but he shared Christ with me, and I mention him all the time. If I'm talking about my testimony and my story, way back 45 years ago, he was a man named Melvin Simmons, and he used to have kind of a signature greeting, you know, when you'd see him, when he'd come to work in the morning, because we worked together, and he would say, Tim, what do you know for sure? And this is something that I kind of picked up, you know. And when you really think about that, what is it that we know for sure? You know, what things are we willing to go to the wall for? You know, I hope every one of us in this place would go to the wall for Jesus. Am I going to go to the wall and divide the church because somebody has a different belief about the millennial reign of Christ than I do? No, I'm not going to go to that. You know, I'm not going to die on that hill. I have my convictions, we all have our convictions, but there's things that we, our core beliefs that we can't bend on, and then there's other things we just give grace. You know, and we say, okay, it's we don't agree on that, but we're still brothers and sisters in Christ. So I think at this time I will have you bring the kids in from Sunday school, because I want to transition back to tying this in. Again, my point was in making the connection between this message about our relationship in the body of Christ, our relationships in the body of Christ, and our relationship to the body of Christ. And I said how important it is to connect this with this act of water baptism. And that's why I want to kind of transition back. So the verse that I had up earlier, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink in one Spirit. So, again, I hope you can see the connection that I was making in my mind. I hope I was able to communicate that. But as the kids...